Hello and welcome to the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by Jason and Ingo Tantra. Here we're exploring spirituality and personal growth through the practice of Tantra, the body, energy and sex. Hello there, I'm Jason Tantra and welcome to episode 12 of the Tantra for Gay Men podcast with Ingo and I. Today we start the podcast talking about Glastonbury. We're recording today live from the Goddess Temple here. And we talk about our history with Glastonbury and why it means so much to us and our history of being here. Then we move into the topic of breath, sound and meeting sensation as like one of the starting points of the practice of Tantra. Listen all the way through because it gets really kind of quite meaty, quite in depth as we develop that conversation and that idea. And then at the end, we talk about how you can get involved and practice through the ashram. And also we talk about a very special retreat in Tantra called Healing and Surrender, happening in Glastonbury, Saturday 30th of November to Friday the 6th of December. Hope you enjoy this and hope it serves you. Thank you. Hello, beautiful Ingo.
Hello, beautiful Jason. How are you doing?
I'm well, my little love. How are you doing?
Yeah, really excited about today's podcast.
We are in a very special way. This is episode 12, okay? And we'll talk about the topic in a moment because we'll get into this. But we are in a very special place. For those of you watching us, we have got, you can see red around us. We're in a red. We are in the sacred divine feminine. We are recording this live from the Goddess Temple House here in Glastonbury, here in the UK.
And I think this almost needs a little bit of background, right?
Okay.
Because, some of you guys, dear listeners, some of you guys know that it's a hobby of Jason and mine to actually travel to places that have spiritual meaning.
Yes.
Like spiritual places. And what could be better in the UK than Glastonbury?
Uh-huh.
So we decided to live here for a few weeks.
We did.
This summer.
But it's
July
also, it's also much, much more than that. Firstly, mm-hmm. it's the home of all of our work if Elf Tantra in the UK. So we're either doing a weekend workshop here or we are doing all of our retreats and our festival here at the Earth Spirit Centre, which is in this like sacred landscape of Glastonbury.
Yeah, Glastonbury, for the Americans, Glastonbury is basically the UK answer to Sedona, I would say. So it's a total, it's a sacred landscape. Can you talk more about that?
No, can you? Well, there's many different layers, and it's certainly worth a weekend, well, probably a day or a weekend away here in Glastonbury. There's several features here. They talk a lot about Avalon, King Arthur. They talk about like early Christianity. There is the cup of Jesus Christ buried here from the Last Supper in the Chalice Well. There is the white sacred spring. There's the Tor. There's a zillion different crystal shops and retreat centres. And there's a lot. We looked at the Oracle, the local Glastonbury spiritual newspaper? There is a lot of stuff. Atlantean healing I've come across today, my love.
Yeah, and what always stuns me in this place is when you stand on the Tor, which is like uh-huh. the highest hill,
yes.
it you look into this sacred landscape, and it really looks like a human form of a goddess lying down with all of her curves poking out.
Yes, you can see her in the landscape. Yes,
and I think that's one reason it looks like that, and that's one reason why Glastonbury has become the home of everything new age, esoteric, and so on in the UK, basically.
It feels very special for me for several mm-hmm. reasons. One, we got married here, baby. Do you
yes.
remember that? How many years ago was that?
12 years ago.
Wow.
Almost exactly 12
years ago. We had 160 people. We had the whole of the UK Tantra scene here, both from Tantra for Gay Men and all of the hetero Tantra that we used to be connected to in peer groups and festivals.
It was really wild because remember, we invited people to come as an expression of themselves. That was the invitation, basically. And everyone showed up completely flamboyant.
They did.
And it was quite incredible, yeah.
I just remember it being, one, incredibly stressful because I didn't feel very resourced at that point to deal with that many number of people.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it was incredibly profound and amazing. And yeah, I just loved marrying you. That was for my 40th birthday. I thought, what do I want to do? How do I want to celebrate that? And I was like, oh, I want to marry Ingo. And you remember, oh gosh, are we going to tell this about that? Have we told this in a previous podcast? The text not message, sure. I sent you in China that cost £300.
We have talked about that.
Okay, yeah. We've got in danger of repeating ourselves. So yes, also it's the home of the Tantra Love Festival of Tantra for Gay Men. And we've just did a diploma week here. Was it Sex, Silence and Mystery?
I'm still reeling.
24 men,
yeah.
1 week. It was deep. You know, when we've checked in with the participants, they're still, you want to use the word unfolding because that's the only way I can describe it. This landscape here of Glastonbury, I think really supports our work because it adds layers to what we're already doing in the room. The fact that it's held in this sacred landscape means a lot to me, and I think it amplifies the depth of the work that we do.
Yeah, and I think this specific retreat was very much about how far can we actually go mm-hmm. with these Tantra techniques to really bring people into a mindset that is very different from their usual mindset, where they start, you know, to almost see, like on psychedelics, their sexual energy and how they interact. And some people said it was like a trip just without drugs, and they just couldn't believe what was happening.
And literally, that was all to do with it. Actually, that leads in nicely to today's
yes,
topic.
Exactly.
Thank you. You've done a good job in linking because, you know, all we were doing was breath mm-hmm. and sound, and all we were doing was silence or periods of silence and really focusing and channeling energy. And it kind of took off on its own in some way.
Well, this wasn't all we were doing.
No.
We were actually doing this, but at the same time, we were doing lots and lots of sensual and sexual work on sensations.
Yes.
Like, we really went very, very, very deeply into that.
And we were also doing work that allows people to journey. And we're probably going to talk about these. Actually, I feel like we're introducing.
Yeah.
Let me introduce the theme. So today's theme is consciousness and paying attention to sensations, following and tracking your experience. This is the tantric practice. Breath, sound, and meeting sensation. Breath, good. Sound. And I just want to talk about that breath, sound, and meeting sensation first, because I've updated that from Dame Margot Anand, because she talked about breath, sound, and movement. And in my our 19 years of teaching, when we one day release our Tantra book, Inga, when we write that book one day about Tantra for gay men, I changed the breath, sound and movement. I changed the movement to meeting sensation mm-hmm. because I believe, and this is where it's going to sound a bit hooky kooky for a while, but let's go with it. There's something about opening a portal inside you that takes you out of your mind and into your body.
Well, let me, before we go to that,
okay,
let me just in a few sentences go back one bit and introduce why do we do this breath, sound and meeting sensations. So for those who have never done Tantra, there is one central idea in Tantra, as you may have heard, which is the idea that in so-called normal sex, we actually don't really tap into the amazing power of the sexual energy that we have. Rather, we use that to generate some good feelings in our cock, which is great. And maybe we share that with someone, and then we ejaculate, and it is over. And this, and in Tantra,
yeah,
what we do is to ask ourselves the question, well, what else can we do with that energy? Mm-hmm. And the key to that is breath, sound, and movement, which we use to amplify this energy and then to direct it through our body, starts to do things.
But the movement I've changed.
Yes.
To meeting sensation.
Yes.
So what you're saying then is like at the reason why we're doing this, we're both saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're saying it's like an early part of tantric practice, mm-hmm, to pay attention to breath, sound, and meeting sensation.
Yeah.
Because, well, what I was going to say was this opens a portal. This opens the stepping into this place of having a tantric experience.
Yes.
So all massages that we do, there's five different types of tantric massages. There are all the different practices that we do, even tantric sex, like everything we start with in Tantra starts with breath, sound, and meeting sensation. I just want to go back and finish on the Margot thing.
Yeah.
And then I've got another branch of that to open up, but I also want to pass back to you. But as I said, Margot wrote in her The Art of
Sexual Ecstasy,
which for me was a Bible or a blueprint, mm-hmm, of Neo-Tantra for the Western world. So for me, every Tantra teacher that's practicing Tantra, whether that's in the USA, Europe, everybody's got The Art of Sexual Ecstasy by Margot Anand on their bookshelf, because what she presented to us was foundational to the whole practice of Tantra. And for me, what we've done, you and I trained in the lineage of Margot Anand. And one of the things we did, because it was a very heteronormative presentation of Tantra, I think one of the things we've brought to the table is the interpretation of that for a man who loves men, and then we've ramped it up some.
Yes, and the thing that Margot says basically in her first, in the first chapter of her book is that in so-called normal sex, we only use about 5% of what is possible to do with our sexual power. Mm. And she then starts up with these seemingly easy exercises. Mm. Breathe more. Mm. Feel more. Mm. Give it more sound. Mm. And they're seemingly simple, but they actually can transform all of your sexual experience, because all of a sudden it is as if you were taking the sensations and opening them up, and then they amplify, and all of a sudden, your experience becomes much, much, much stronger. And that's what we are working with, that amplified experience.
And when I hear you saying that, this amplified experience, mm-hmm, or this opening, this like starting, this...
Yeah.
For me, there's a couple of things here. One is, I want to talk in a moment about the types of sex that people have.
Yeah.
And the bit I want to talk about here is, typically men who have sex with men can perceive that sex is just what's happening with your cock. We can perceive that sex is just happening with your cock. And I think what Neo Tantra brings to the table, what we teach, is that sex involves the whole of your body. But it's not even just your body. There's also this concept called like your energy, mm-hmm, and your spirituality, mm-hmm, and your beingness, and your mind is in play, and your ego's in play. Like, we're not just talking to your cock here. So when we talk about breath and sound and meeting sensation, actually, for me, what that's doing is activating the body. It's activating and it's inviting the body into the experience of the intention of what you're going to do, i.e. we're going to have sex, or I'm going to engage in intimacy, or I'm going to engage in some tantric practice, whether that's a massage or energy practices. Actually, what we're the opening of breath, sound, and we'll talk about meeting sensation, that is a activation of the whole of the body that then just doesn't focus on the cock.
I loved your idea, you know, first to activate your whole body.
Yes.
That means on a very, you know, very practically, this means feeling the physical sensations that you usually during sex might only feel in your cock, or, you know, depending on what you're doing, in your pelvis. That sensation, first of all, you wanna feel it in all of your body. You wanna really activate your whole body, and you wanna. I think you use this sometimes in our retreats, in exercises, where you say you want your whole body to feel like the tip of your cock when it's aroused, basically, at its highest. So we are basically first activating the body into high arousal.
Yes. Right? Well, and this is where we break down breath, sound, and meeting sensation. Yeah. For me, the breath and the sound is, firstly, it's the activation of bringing the whole body to the party. Yes. And the meeting sensation, I want to save that and talk about that. But it's also not just the activation, but also the awareness.
Yeah.
Like when we talk about Tantra as consciousness and awareness, for me, the minute you start to breathe, actually there's that activation, because you're then starting to pay attention to what's going on. And when we talk about what is consciousness and what is awareness, one aspect of that is noticing, is not just being the experience, not just having the experience, but also witnessing the experience as well. And I think this breath and sound is almost the start of that divergence between the part of you that's having the experience and the other part of you that's witnessing and noticing what the experience is. And that, for me, is where the consciousness and the awareness is. Is it in the part of you that's experiencing? Well, for me, I perceive that that is limited. For me, the awareness and the consciousness is in the part that's watching. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, what I always say is that the way we do Tantra has commonalities with Vipassana.
Yes.
Because we are basically going into sensation. We want to, our world in that moment, we want it to be total sensation. And almost through meditating on these sensations, we wanna investigate the true nature of these sensations. And these are the big questions. Are these sensations me? Are they other? Is there me? Is there other? What is permanent? What is not? And these questions, then they ask themselves. And the difference to Vipassana, is that we actually use things like touch and like sexual sensation, but we are working with those sensations. And the first thing that we do is, how can you actually totally be in total intimacy with these sensations as they arise and as they go away? How can you let, you know, think, for example, about you're receiving a massage, right? Or you're having sex with someone. Most of us, in our normal state of mind, a whole mind fuck would go on at the same time, as in, oh yeah, I really, really love this person, or I really, this is what I like about them, the person who is giving to me, this is how I would want to be touched, this feels good, this doesn't feel so good, this reminds me of this, this triggers that sensation. And we want to bring that back to we want to basically get rid of all of that mind activity and that mind fuck, and we want to bring it back to the pure sensation exactly as it is, and that feels incredibly sensual, incredibly beautiful.
There's a big topic there,
yes,
which you've kind of got into, which is massive,
yes,
because you're talking about what happens in sex.
Yeah,
for me, that's like a whole other podcast, and we may get to some of those mm-hmm. topics. And you're right. I think the nugget I'm taking away from what you're saying, keeping us on a track, is to actually focus on your experience and what's yes. happening with you, and not giving yourself away to your thoughts and judgments
yes.
about what's happening. But we're going to come back to that bit in a moment.
Yeah, it's just that when we work with sensation, this has a kind of higher purpose, a meditative purpose to it as well.
And yeah. the bit that we were saying, or I was saying earlier, is there's a difference mm-hmm. between the part of you that's having the experience, mm-hmm. because I think that's temporary, like... what was it? Can we go? Oh no, Ingo, you said something so funny the other day. The problem with the Buddhists, and I have never laughed so much, because how could anybody have any problem with any Buddhists? I have never, whoever had a problem with the Buddhists?
I don't. It was just...
But that was hilarious. It was just, the problem with the Buddhists.
I was just joking, yeah.
That was hilarious. But the point I'm saying is... when we talk about impermanence, that invites the idea that nothing is permanent. So the sensations or the experiences you're having in your body mm-hmm. are impermanent. Mm-hmm. They're momentary. And, you know, we know, for example, when people come onto our diploma mm-hmm. week, it stays with them for months afterwards, but it doesn't stay with them forever. Mm-hmm. And so then for me, it's like, well, then what remains? What remains after feeling the breath, the sound and the sensations in your body? It was great that you had the most amazing toe curling orgasm of your life. But in a month's time, 2 months' time, it's a memory. It's already happened and it's been and gone. For me, the gift is... how does each experience that we have in our bodies, that we have in life, how do we take that into our expansion of awareness and consciousness and our understanding of the world that we see? Because for me, that is the only thing that stays permanent. That's the only thing that grows during our life.
Well... this is exactly what I'm referring to when okay. it's what I called investigation into yes. the nature of what is happening.
Yes.
For example, all these sensations, they come.
Yes.
And they go. Mm. All the emotions, when you think, oh, I would like this to stay. This feels so good. This comes and this goes. And the meditative practice in there is basically is... to get an experiential idea of where are they actually coming from, where are they arising from, where they are going back into, what is me and what is other in that setup, and these kinds of questions they come up.
Brilliant. So I think we're kind of saying the same thing, just from different ideas, different perspectives.
Yeah, but I also wanted to go back to something we were talking about earlier, to a different thing, because we were talking about breath, sound, and meeting sensations, and this practice where we almost tease the sensation, the sexual sensation, out of the body parts where it's usually, you know, where it usually happens in our so-called normal sexual experiences, in our pelvis, in our cock. We tease that out, and via this breath and giving it sound and feeling it everywhere, we can actually come to very, very high arousal of the whole body. And then to almost an orgasmic feeling in the whole body.
Actually, I want to just correct that a little bit, because what I would then would say, the breath and the sound, yes, but maybe not orgasmic, but ecstatic.
Yes.
Because I think there's a difference between the ecstatic body and mm-hmm. the orgasmic body. Mm-hmm. One leads into another, but they're like, you know, if you look at a rainbow cake, one is the color red and the other is the color orange. For me, the breath, sound, and meeting sensation, what we teach and what people report, is that this opens up a sensation of ecstasy.
Yes.
That's buzzing through the body, that feels like 1,000 volts of electricity.
Yes.
At its height. And, you know, to get people at a very extreme example, we have some quite mm-hmm. intense body sensations, slapping, tickling, sometimes ethical punches in the right places, like thuddy, like all different sensations to take people into this utter ecstatic place.
Yes.
That is not sexual, because people don't have a hard-on when we're doing that practice. Very often they don't. You can tell when it's gone from the ecstatic into the erotic,
yeah.
because there's an erection, or typically there's an erection there. That's kind of how you know. But this ecstatic place is what's missing from most sex that people have. And I wanted to just talk about that, because you talked about sex earlier. For a lot of people, sex is unsatisfactory.
Yeah.
Because, or it doesn't give them what they want. And either that can be because it feels reliant upon the other person, or the other person's lying there like a dead kipper, or you're lying there like a dead kipper. There just doesn't seem enough. And then it becomes very cock focused and over in before it started, and doesn't have any layers of satisfaction to people.
Yeah. And I think this has to do with, what I mentioned before, you then, a whole kind of mind fuck starts to go on in your mind. So, oh God, am I satisfying this person?
Yes.
Do we fit together? Oh no, we don't fit together. Feelings of frustration, maybe feelings of shame if you think you're not satisfying that person in that moment. All of that stuff can come up and actually take you away from the experience.
And also issues of self-confidence.
Yeah.
I think, you know,
yeah.
how you may perceive yourself, whether mm-hmm. you think you're good enough. And these are all very mental mind activities. I've always said the best sex that you're ever going to have starts with you and is only about you. Mm-hmm. Like for me, you know, I think there's needed to be a bit of a rethink about how people approach sex, because typically people perceive sex for me is about what I'm going to get from the other person,
yeah.
or what they're going to do to me and what I'm going to do to the other person. Some people get stuck in sex around just giving and receiving, because there's a vulnerability required in all that we're talking about today. When we talk about breath, and we talk about sound, and we talk about meeting sensation. In that meeting sensation, there's a vulnerability that's required, because you need to be in a receptive mode. When men say, actually, my sex is rubbish, I'm just giving to other people all the time, it's because there's no internal landscape to be able to register that they're having an experience. They're just in their minds in a giving mode, often protecting a wound, often protecting maybe low self-esteem, protecting not feeling good enough, protecting something that takes them away from knowing that they are worthy of feeling pleasure in their body. And that actually there's this thing about developing that inner landscape where you can have the experiences of breath, sound, and sensations in your body.
It's exactly this thing that we see, right? Mm. With probably 90% of people who come to us, it's they struggle with receiving.
Yes.
they struggle with really, really receiving pleasure. They're very much, how can I give? And when receiving, it's very much, am I receiving exactly what I need? Is he good enough? Mm. You know, all of these judgments come in there. So is it about learning how to receive? It is.
Well, I was just going to say, like we've seen in yes. our 19 years of teaching, we've witnessed a proportion of men, and I think this is part of a tantric journey, but we've noticed a proportion of men that arrive, they've managed to get their clothes off. You know, yeah. we've done a check-in circle, we've outlined the day, we've done consent, we've done boundaries, everyone's feeling safe, we've built intimacy, and then we come to the first body practice. And for some people, they feel rigid. Rigid, and I also want to use the word frigid, rigid and frigid, because they rhyme, but also because, in my experience, they've been so stuck in their mind that they didn't know that there was a possibility of themselves beyond their mind. Mm-hmm. It's like, and this is where I talk about this inner landscape. The only inner landscape is the computer room of their mind. And that is a highly unsatisfactory place to live. Actually, that's a place that's miserable, and it's a place of unhappiness, and there's no joy there. Like if we look at where people have experienced joy in Tantra, it's been in the most embodied experience, when they've learned to take this ecstatic energy over their body, when they've learned to become, like, you know, multi-orgasmic.
Yes. But the first step, actually, on a very psychological level, is learning how to really receive, right? How to receive from someone else, touch,
yes.
Sensation.
But also, I think, to be able to feel the sensations in your body, mm-hmm. and allow those to open to something that takes you beyond your mind. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't think your way through the ecstatic practices of Tantra. Actually, they only work when people have let go of their minds. And I'm, you know, reminded of people that have come to this journey. You've also got to have a little bit of a leap of faith, mm-hmm. because we know we know when there's people led down in the room and they see people that are experienced of Tantra, and they're breathing, they're screaming, they're shuddering, people look at them and they're like, what the very fuck is that? And they look at them and they're like, oh my god, are they making it up? Like, we've had people go, are they making it up? Is that real? And actually, when you awaken the ecstatic body, you can start to journey and travel with these sensations in your body that take you all kinds of places.
Yes, and what I wanted to point to is that this is built on an ability to receive.
Yes.
For me, for example, it's like, what I just love about Tantra is that part of our practice gives me almost the safe space to be with a partner, and it's very clear that in this situation, for example, the partner is giving to me, and all I need to do is totally receive. Afterwards, we will reciprocate that. But now, for the moment, I can completely focus on myself and my inner world and what comes in through that touch in a massage, for example. And when I can do that, when I can let go of all of these ideas of, oh, okay, you know, how is this person good enough? Do I fancy them? How do I give back? When I can completely let go of that, I can completely let myself fall into the sensual and the stimulation. And the deeper I let myself fall into that, then, as you say, then I can actually start to experiment with these techniques that bring these sensations to ecstasy. But before that, almost, I need to be able to have a situation where I completely let go of these mind elements.
I think there's a psychological process that's required, or a psychological shift.
Yes.
And before I labour this point more, people, dear listeners, they may be listening to this podcast. We are pointing to some things that maybe cause people some difficulty, some pain, some unsatisfactory, some misery. And I just want to say here that nobody comes to Tantra with everything figured out. No. Actually, everybody and even us that have arrived at the doorstep of Tantra, we've arrived because either we're curious to know more and or something's not working. Either we're not satisfied in sex, or we want to have better sex, or we've got issues that we don't know how to deal with. Because I feel like the issues that the men that come to us for Tantra, nobody was ever given a book at school or taught in emotional. Nobody was ever taught how to deal with all of those things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, men typically learn about sex through porn. And again, there's a whole other topic there to talk about. But it's like people arrive at our doorsteps because they've got questions and things are not satisfactory. Sex is not great, or they're in a sexless relationship. Things are going wrong and they want to know more. And I think, you know, one of the things I would say about Tantra is never step into Tantra thinking you know everything. For me, 19 years later, I'm still continually growing and shocked. And I would also say here that I would probably be your worst student. If I was ever a student in a Tantra workshop, I'd probably be the worst one, because I kind of ping pong between working through all my issues and stuff versus once I've got it, I kind of fly and my energy goes up and I'm probably the loudest in the room. I kind of, I'm kind of probably bipolar in terms of my experience of Tantra. So I just wanted to offer some compassion and understanding to our listeners, that as they hear us talking about these things, it's likely in this podcast that we will touch on things that might be painful for people that are listening. And I'm just wanting to say it's okay. And yeah, you and everybody else, we're all kind of struggling and finding. And this is why for me, Tantra is a pathway of spirituality. Spirituality is about growth. It's about discovering. It's about healing.
So to bring to bring us back to the topic.
Yes, but I just wanted to acknowledge this compassion, that we're all trying to figure stuff out and we're all trying to make sense of it. So please don't listen to this podcast thinking, oh, I'm not enough or I don't know enough. Actually, the purpose of this podcast is to help explain Tantra in a way that we want to welcome you in. We want to invite you into this world.
Yes.
So remind me, where were we when I went off on that branch? Because I was just aware that we point to problems that people have, and people may be, you know, going, oh my god, that's me, and feel a bit hopeless and helpless. And I think Tantra offers a possibility, a way of living a life full of joy, full of ecstasy, happiness, orgasm, growth, healing. So the bit that I wanted to go back to, we were in a Tantra workshop with people that don't know how to go beyond their mind.
Well. Now that you say it, I think I need to respond to that, because I personally, you know, if someone feels helpless and how do I even get there to what you're talking about, you're completely right. Everyone can do this, and there is no. For me, there has never been a sense of, okay, you are not good enough or something like that. If you, the only thing I always say that you can't be good enough, you can be not good enough, is if you stay for years and years and years and wallow in your not good enough, instead saying, right, I might be not good enough, but now I'm going to try something. Because what happens always is that even those people who don't feel good enough to begin with, when they try out these practices, they're like, wow, it's so, so, so simple. And it has nothing to do with not being good enough. It has everything to do with, okay, I might be wherever I'm at, and I'm going to try something out. I'm going to put myself into that environment. Mm. I'm going to try out something new. Mm. And for me, when someone comes into our retreats, these are already the people who say to themselves, I actually might be whoever I am. I'm going to try something out. Mm. And with that, it's like I can't do anything else than throw my arms around them. Mm. Because that's literally everything you need to, you know, you need to do. Mm. And then in the second step, what then usually happens is that, oh, wow, I didn't know that techniques that are as simple as this can actually get me out of where I was. Mm. That's how I experience it. Mm. Mm. And from that perspective, it's like, try it out. And just trying it out has already, you have already done everything you need to do. Everything you need to do. And there is no not good enough anymore. Mm.
For me, one of the things I want to come back to is this idea of following sensations.
Yeah.
But just before I come to that, I just wanted to pick up on your point. Mm-hmm. Everybody that arrives at Tantra, we are all products of one, our own conditioning, mm-hmm. i.e. our backgrounds, our environment, you know, the people we grew up with, who we had around us. And also I think there's something about what your predisposition is. So for example, we've had, you know, top computer programmers mm-hmm. who have lived in IT code of programs for a decade, and they're wondering why they can't feel a sensation in their body. And, you know, when I talk about the prison of your mind, mm-hmm. you know, they recognize feeling in the prison of their mind mm-hmm. and they knock on the door of Tantra because they know it's to do with the body, it's to do with energy, it's to do with sex, it's to do with spirit. It's basically to do with everything that they're not outside of the prison cell.
That's where I come from. That's how I came into Tantra. I'm not a computer programmer, but I was completely in my mind.
Yes.
And then I knocked at that door, and then I was like, oh, wow, there's this whole different way to engage with your body. Mm. And I didn't even know that that existed. And
yes.
From there on, everything was actually very, very easy.
And the only thing I would say that people need, and this was given to me by David Taylor at the Earth Spirit Center. He said the only thing people need is persistence.
Yes.
So even though you may not get the exercises, like we've seen people, haven't we, Ingo, where they've spent a year in practices mm-hmm. like, no, I'm not feeling anything. And then all of a sudden they'll get some type of breakthrough that will just open up this world to them that is completely incredible.
And that happens through, back to the topic, that actually happens through engaging with the sensations in your body.
Yes.
That it happens through that. Whole worlds open up through that.
Yes, yes. And I want to come back to just that bit around, we talked about breath and sound as activation, and the meeting sensations is the doorway, the portal into joy. Like, you know, the joy that you're going to feel in your life is through meeting sensations and then expressing them. So breath, sound, and meeting sensation. And that meeting sensation is learning to express that. That, for me, is the portal, the way through to the doorway of everything that Tantra has to offer. It's like every part of tantric practice starts with that premise. Breath, sound, and meeting sensation. And as I'm with it now, expressing what's going on through that sound, that breath and that sound.
Yes, and the one of those things that happened in there for me was you submit to those sensations and all of a sudden something opens up in your inner world. Mm. It's like a simple massage stroke when you really engage with it can in your body open up into ecstatic feelings, almost into a visual thing, a film almost. Mm. And you become aware all of a sudden that, wow, there is a whole inner world in me that I can open through this. And that changes your relationship with the outer world because all of a sudden you realize you've got infinite potential in your inner world, and you actually got the key to open it up. And so you're not as determined by the outer world anymore, which, you know, totally determined by the outer world. This is one of our, I think, one of our big, big issues in civilization. So then this inner world opens up, and then we can actually start to work with that. But many people don't even know that that exists.
Thank you, my little love. I've really enjoyed this podcast with you.
Oh, yeah.
It's really funny, isn't it? We don't know where we're going to go. And then, well, I don't know if our listeners will agree, but we think.
With the topic?
Yeah, no, I think we've done the topic inside out. But we say things. I was like, oh, I didn't know we were going in that direction. Yes. Yeah.
So.
But we hope it's of service to everybody that's listening.
Dear listener, we hope it's of service.
Because we are here to help and to, guess, like, demystify and talk about Tantra. So the other thing I would say, just as we are coming into closing, if you like what we're talking about, if you want to experience, if you want to practice Tantra, our ashram, which is an online practicing community of Tantra guided by Ingo and I, we create a program. And at the moment, till mid-October, we are exploring becoming multi-orgasmic. And then we'll go into another tantric topic. Every week has got video lectures, practices, and live classes on Thursday and Saturday with our ashram facilitators.
And that's the unique thing about this ashram.
Yes.
You've got live classes where you come together with a group of dedicated people.
Yes.
And instructed by our amazing ashram teachers.
And then we get together with everybody every 3 weeks for spiritual inquiry and practice review and talking about how everything's going. And community.tantra4gaymen.com to join that. That would be one of the ways I would recommend that people can engage and practice everything that we're talking about. Other things to mention, we are doing a diploma in Tantra called Healing and Surrender. Saturday, November
the
30th through to Friday the 6th of December.
Yes.
Here in this beautiful sacred landscape of Glastonbury.
November, December 2024.
Healing with a capital H, surrender with a capital S. This is probably not for new people. This is for people that have done already maybe a little bit of self-development work. So they may have been in therapy, or they may have done some like yoga or body practices. Maybe they've done some like introductory practices to Tantra. That's not necessarily, but it's like, are you able to look after yourself in your own process? And if you like what we're talking about, we've got a good group of people forming for that. And I would really, point people to that as a way.
Absolutely.
If they wanted to kind of come and have a deep dive in Tantra, this is a beautiful, amazing week. It's a week of two halves. Like, the first topic is healing and looking at the divine feminine. And the other half is around surrender, which kind of goes off another branch of that. Okay, Ingo, I look forward to speaking with you in the next episode. Thank you. Love you, baby.
See you in the next episode, dear listener, and have a good week.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Really hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Remember, if you want to listen to this, you can find this and our other podcasts at our website, tantra4gaymen.com. You can also see them wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're interested in the ashram, community.tantra4gaymen.com. And if you're interested in the retreat, you can find that at our website, tantra4gaymen.com. Join us in episode 13 when we talk about how we perceive, how we look about ourselves and how we feel about that and how that can get in the way of our experience. Hope this podcast serves you and look forward also to seeing you next time. Take care now. Bye-bye.